This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
Long time ago, there was a guy named John Edwards who had an affair with a mistress, Rielle Hunter, and she was pregnant, and John Edwards wanted to hide it from his wife and also from the people that could vote for him for president, so he didn't list the payments to her as contributions, as political contributions. And the Federal Elections Commission ruled that they are not campaign expenditures because he had lots of reasons to cover this up from his wife and from his family and from other people in his private life. But the Department of Justice didn't care, and they prosecuted him anyway. And then they prosecuted him and went to a judge, and the judge let it go forward. And then a jury said he was not guilty of one charge, was hung on the other charges. And then the Justice Department decided not to try him again. The point is this. The question of whether or not these are campaign expenditures has been decided by the agency that oversees what are campaign expenditures. That's the Federal Elections Commission. And in their judgment, these payments were not campaign expenditures. So now here we are with President Trump, who's got lots and lots of reasons to make sure that Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal don't go out there and talk about their alleged affairs with him, even beyond just being president. Beyond being president, he's a guy who's married and a guy who has kids and grandkids and also just doesn't want to look like he's, you know, his reputation might be damaged. He may lose the presidency. He might have even been thinking he would lose the presidency, and then he doesn't want to lose the presidency and then lose his marriage. So he's got reason to also then give them what's called hush money, a non-disclosure agreement. And, you know, the big question then becomes this non-disclosure agreement. Would that have changed your mind? Because this is the only question that's relevant. Would it have changed your mind if you knew that he had an affair with Stormy Daniels? That's the only question. Because if this ever got to a place where you were testing this, that would be the question, right? If this had come out, would you have changed your mind? Now, had this come out in, say, 2015, maybe, right? The Republican primary, perhaps you would have, because perhaps the other Republican candidates back then might have used it as an issue. So if, say, for instance, the Ted Cruz campaign went wall-to-wall with this back then, maybe it would have hurt Trump in Iowa. Who knows, right? I have no way of knowing back what could have happened. But I do know this. By 2016, the idea that this would have hurt Trump against Hillary Clinton, I think, is laughable for this very, very important reason. By that time that these alleged payments occurred, you knew what you were getting with Donald Trump. And for a lot of people, they wanted that. It's why they wanted him as president, because they wanted a guy to come in and wreck the house. They weren't looking for a guy to keep the nice paintings on the walls. They wanted a guy to come in like a wrecking ball. And wrecking balls often have, well, lots of questionable instances in their past. They also wanted a guy who was, you know, a guy who didn't really care. Just kind of come in and do whatever the hell he wanted to do and basically, again, break some eggs, break some major, major eggs. But what they didn't think they were getting was a pious man. They didn't think they were getting a family values guy. They didn't think they were getting a guy who's going to run on the Bible and run on. And yet they were backing him anyway over a guy who was very much talking about religion a lot and faith, and that's Ted Cruz. By the time that primary was getting closer and closer, by March of 2016, people were shocked to find out that Trump was leading with evangelical voters in some places. And they were going, well, I don't understand. How is this possible? And Ted Cruz tried to make it an issue a little bit, but the evangelical voters felt that they were going to get a guy who was going to fight for them. And I remember back in March of 2016, when Donald Trump won a number of primaries that night, and the news was shocked to report that evangelical voters were backing him over Ted Cruz. And people say, how is this possible? And I said back then, because they think you're going to fight for their values. Not that you share their values, but that you're going to fight for their values. That's what I mean. That's what I meant. So then the Billy Bush tape comes out and he still wins. and he doesn't lose the voters. And a big part of the reason for that is, in addition to a lot of voters wanting somebody who's going to come in and just, you know, smash the house down, they did not want Hillary Clinton to win. This is why I say, had all this come out in the primary, it's possible things might have changed. Who knows, right? But the one thing I do know is that they did not want Hillary Clinton. They viewed her as corrupt. In fact, they viewed her as one of the most corrupt human beings on earth. You did, and I did, for sure. We thought of the Clintons as sleazy, corrupt, selfish people who have enriched themselves with their office. And so the question then became, at that moment, are you going to go with somebody who has used their office to enrich themselves, who's a liar, who has lied on multiple occasions about the emails, but even beyond that, too, who represents issues that are at the core so opposite of what you believe as a person? For example, would you rather have somebody who is somebody who's potentially now had extramarital relations, but is pro-life and will support your pro-life vision, or somebody who's pro-choice but hasn't had extramarital affairs, but her husband has, and she was instrumental in covering that up and also going after the women? It's a mess, in other words. By the time the general election rolls around, it's a mess, and there's no way you can prove that those payments fundamentally influence voters, because there's no way to prove whether or not voters would have run from him had those issues come out. And I can tell you that if we were talking about 2015 in the primary, it's a different story. Because again, I don't know how Ted Cruz might have used that information. I don't know how another conservative might have used that information. Perhaps it would have mattered. Perhaps it wouldn't have mattered. We will never know. But by the time that the Billy Bush tape came out, people knew he was married three times. They knew that he had cheated on at least one of the women in his marriage. They also didn't care. They didn't care about a lot of the things that Republicans were using against him in attacks. Things like, for example, the four bankruptcies, which was used by other opponents to go after him, and people didn't care about that either. So now, picture this situation. Donald Trump's there, and he's with Michael Cohen, and the question comes up about paying Stormy Daniels and paying Karen McDougal, and he thinks about the reputational damage and harm, part and apart from becoming the president of the United States. And he says, fine, we'll pay them. I'll find a way to reimburse you, and we'll do this thing. You pay it, and I'll reimburse you, and everything like that. And then we'll go forward, like, you know, from that perspective. And now what the FEC ruled years ago is that, and what a jury found in the Edwards trial, is it reasonable to assume that you have as much to gain or more by this transaction occurring in your private life as in your public life? And if the answer is yes, then you can't look at it as a campaign expenditure, because campaign expenditures have to do with things specific to the campaign and only to the campaign. For example, if I'm running for president and I go out and I buy a new suit because I want to look presidential, can I use that? Can I use money to pay for that suit for my campaign? It's a question. But if I don't use money from the campaign to buy the suit, am I covering something up because the suit makes me look presidential? Who knows? This is the question. There's an agency that's charged by Congress to deal with that. That's the Federal Election Commission. And in their mindset, in their view, in their judgment, when it came to the Edwards case, no, it's not a campaign expenditure. Because of the benefits from the private life, the benefits for John Edwards' case of not having his wife find out, not having everybody else find out, he's a total scumbag, right? It's a very reasonable assumption to make. Now, with Donald Trump, it's even, I'd say, another matter, because he's not even an elected official yet. For John Edwards, who was an elected official, for John Edwards, who had a political career, you could have made the argument back then, this is definitely political. Because this guy's already been a politician. Trump wasn't a politician. He had this giant business. You can make the same argument that you've got more to lose from a business perspective having this come out than even as a presidential candidate. But again, the only question relevant is whether or not you would have changed your mind had all this come out in 2016. Would you have changed your vote? I can tell you I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have changed my vote in a heartbeat. No chance would I have changed my vote. No chance, because the alternative was way worse. You know, maybe I disapprove of paying off a porn star to keep quiet about an alleged affair, but I really, really, truly find it disgraceful what Hillary Clinton would have done to the Second Amendment. And I find it truly disgraceful what Hillary Clinton would have done with regards to supporting Planned Parenthood and the entire pro-choice community in this country with all kinds of favors and money. And I find it, yes, very, very conflicting with my values that there would be payments to a porn star about an alleged affair. But I find it far worse to think that Hillary Clinton would have gone after co-workers and coal miners and people that would be trying to support a wife and kids. And that stuff you weigh, and you weigh all that. And I don't think a lot of people who voted for Trump would have turned around and said, yeah, you know what? She's a liar and he's a liar and he had affairs and she covered up for those affairs and she went after the women who he even allegedly raped. But I'm going to go with her because he paid off Stormy Daniels to keep quiet about an alleged affair. I don't see it. And that's why when you look at all this with Robert Mueller and the Southern District of New York, et cetera, I'm not worried about this from any perspective for the president as far as being impeached. But there is something I do worry about, and that is when I mentioned to you the payment structure to Michael Cohen, the question of whether or not he violated New York state law with those payment structures. And I've long said to you that the danger here is not Mueller and the danger here is not the Southern District of New York, because in the end of the day, the president has pardon power and a president cannot be indicted while he's in office. And a president has the ability, of course, as president, to have lots and lots of people who are his friends who will support him and guide him through all this. And this becomes a political matter and it's survivable. But what I've always said to you is that the real danger comes from the state of New York, where the attorney general of the state of New York ran for attorney general on the basis of stopping Trump. And the Manhattan District Attorney's Office investigating the structure of those payments. Michael Cohen's cooperating with them as well. So if anything, that is a bigger concern to me than anything else. But like all things, this is a political matter. This is a political fight. And the only way that you can lose a political fight like this is if you become incredibly unpopular. Because then Republicans abandon you and Republicans run away from you. So far, that's not happening. The president has had defenders like Rand Paul coming out, defending him against this idea of a special prosecutor that's relentless and seemingly has no bounds, and a statute or lack of statute that compels a person to continuously go after the executive, something that's not in the Constitution. So far, you're not losing anybody here. He's not losing anybody, even though all of this stuff came out on Friday. But there is danger, as I mentioned, with the Attorney General of the state of New York. And I'll give you a little bit more on that when we come back. And I will tell you this, though. Democrats are so overplaying their hand that they're already talking about impeaching not just Trump, but also Mike Pence. Getting rid of Pence and then having Nancy Pelosi become president. Which is proof that it really doesn't matter what they're going after him for, whether it's Russia collusion or payments to a porn star. It's not what he did that matters. It's the fact that he did anything that matters. Anything that they can use is what the issue is, because they will not stop until he's gone. A friend of mine the other day who's a cop, he asked me this question. He goes, 2 years in and they're still not giving up on trying to get rid of him, huh? And I said, no, and they won't. And come January, it's going to get even worse. You have not even seen the beginnings of what this war is going to turn into. This is a war, and it's going to get very, very ugly. But as usual, Democrats will overplay their hand. Bradley Smith was the chairman of the Federal Elections Commission a few years ago, and he wrote an op-ed back in August. Those payments to women were unseemly. That doesn't mean they were illegal. Bradley Smith, the former chairman of the Federal Election Commission. He is also the chairman of the Institute for Free Speech and a visiting fellow in the James Madison program at Princeton University. And this is the point he makes here. If a candidate for public office decided to settle a private lawsuit to get it out of the news before Election Day, would that be a campaign expenditure? If a business owner ran for political office and decided to pay bonuses to his employees in the hopes that he would get good press and boost his stock as a candidate, would that be a campaign expenditure payable from campaign funds? Under the theory that then-candidate Donald Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, violated campaign finance laws by arranging hush money payments to women accusing Trump of affairs, the answer would seem to be yes. We should probably think twice before accepting that answer. The U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York has extracted a guilty plea from Cohen for knowingly and willfully violating campaign finance laws by arranging for payments to two women accusing Trump of extramarital affairs. Cohen admitted he did so under the direction of a candidate, obviously referencing Trump, to influence an election. Cohen is facing multiple tax and fraud charges that could have landed him in jail for the rest of his life. By pleading guilty, he limits his jail time to just a few years. However, regardless of what Cohen agreed to in a plea bargain, hush money payments to mistresses are not really campaign expenditures. It's true that contribution and expenditure are defined in the Federal Election Campaign Act as anything for the purpose of influencing any election, and it may have been intended in hope that paying hush money would serve that end. The problem is, almost anything a candidate does can be interpreted as intended to influence an election, from buying a good watch, to making sure he gets to places on time, to getting a massage so he feels fit for the campaign, to buying a new suit so that he looks good on the debate stage. Yet having campaign donors pay for personal luxuries such as expensive watches, massages, and suits seems more like bribery than funding campaign speech. That's why another part of the statute defines personal use as any expenditure used to fulfill any commitment, obligation, or expense of a person that would exist irrespective of the candidate's election campaign. These may not be paid with campaign funds, even though the candidate might benefit from them as a candidate. Not every expense that might benefit a candidate is an obligation that exists solely because the person is a candidate. He continues, again, this former chairman of the Federal Election Commission, Bradley Smith. Suppose, for example, that Trump had told his lawyers, look, these complaints about Trump University have no merit, but they embarrass me as a candidate. Get them settled. Are the settlements thus campaign expenses? The obvious answer is no, even though the payments were intended to benefit Trump as a candidate. If the opposite were true and they were considered campaign expenses, then not only could Trump pay them with campaign funds, but he would be required to pay these business expenses from campaign funds. But is that what campaign donations are for? Suppose Trump had used campaign funds to pay off these women. Does anyone much doubt that many of the same people now after Trump for using corporate funds and not reporting them as campaign funds would then be claiming that Trump had illegally diverted campaign funds to personal use? Or that federal prosecutors would not have sought a guilty plea from Cohen on that count? And that gets to a troubling rub of campaign finance laws. Too often you can get your target coming or going. Those payments were unseemly, but unseemliness doesn't make something illegal. And imagine that, too. Imagine if Trump had used campaign funds to pay Stormy Daniels off, right? Wrote her a nice big fat check from Trump for president and still won. Do you think that we would not be discussing right now an investigation? Of course we would, because they would say he never should have used campaign funds to pay off Stormy Daniels. It had nothing to do with his campaign. Everybody knew the kind of man he was. This was just his way of saving a couple hundred grand, because he knew he wouldn't be able to make money while he was president or some nonsense like that. They'd be investigating him for that. You know it and I know it. There would be right now some district attorney somewhere, some prosecutor somewhere saying he violated the personal expenditure law that's part of the Campaign Finance Act. He violated that. Clearly, these were personal expenditures. Clearly, the affair with Stormy Daniels could have done more damage to his marriage, had it come out, than to his election prospects. Yet here he is, Donald Trump using campaign funds to pay her off. Unconscionable. He should apologize to all of his donors. He should make it clear what he did. And Democrats would all be singing the exact same tune. They'd have a press conference. They'd come out in the press conference and they'd say, there is no way you can justify using campaign funds to pay off these women because he was afraid his wife would find out. Had nothing to do with the election. This wasn't a poll. This wasn't a billboard. This wasn't a commercial. They'd be saying all these things. The fact that they're not, because they want to tie this into campaign expenditures, the fact that that's where the attorney in the Second District of New York is going is very, very clear, because it's how the money was paid to Cohen. The president, Trump, any candidate can spend as much of their own money as they want. But then they have to list those payments, they have to list those expenditures. So the argument would be listing those expenditures would make people say, oh, no, no, I can't vote for this guy now. No way. I can't vote for him. But again, if he had paid for those funds out of his personal dollars, out of his campaign dollars, if he had used that money to pay Stormy Daniels off and Karen McDougal off, they would be turning around right now and suggesting that he violated the Campaign Finance Act. The reason is because they're not going to ever stop. As I mentioned to you before, Andy McCarthy over at Fox News, he wrote a piece, Why Trump is Likely to Be Indicted by the Manhattan U.S. Attorney. He writes, the major takeaway from the 40-page sentencing memo filed by federal prosecutors Friday for Michael Cohen is this: the president is very likely to be indicted on a charge of violating federal campaign finance laws. Now, the key here is this: whether or not the prosecutor can say that Trump knowingly did this to violate campaign finance laws, that he knowingly did this, that he knowingly knew that this would be illegal and he did this on purpose. That would have to be the question. That would be the question. And so the defense actually for Donald Trump is to turn around and go, no, I had no criminal intent here to do this. I just didn't want my wife to find out. I didn't want my kids to find out. I didn't want my business prospects to find out. Hell, I wasn't sure I'd win this election. So I wanted to make sure this would be kept secret. He writes here that when you look at the Cohen case, you look at what the prosecutors are alleging here, the best defense becomes prosecutors will not be able to prove Trump knowingly violated campaign finance laws, that he knowingly engaged in criminal behavior, that he had the mens rea, the mental state to break the law, the mental state to do something like this. Now, criminal behavior is wrong, obviously. But the question becomes, is it criminal behavior to pay off a porn star to keep her quiet? Is it criminal behavior to settle a lawsuit with people who want to say disparaging things about you? Is it criminal behavior to keep somebody quiet who you were married to? Is it criminal behavior? No. Is it seemly behavior? That's up for you to judge. I'm not judging. That's up for you. The question is, did he have the mental state going into this to tell Michael Cohen, and basically now, to break the law? Mens rea. And if the answer is no, and if you have ambiguity over what is a campaign expense and what is a personal expense, there is no there when it comes to charging the president. But because we live in a political time, because the Constitution's irrelevant. By the way, Judge Kavanaugh, Brett Kavanaugh, the guy who was going to be the end of Roe v. Wade, you know, the one that Democrats worked so hard to keep off the Supreme Court, he sided with the liberals today in protecting Planned Parenthood funding. Now, I told you, Judge Brett Kavanaugh was going to wind up being another Kennedy. And this whole fight about Judge Kavanaugh was laughable because he was going to wind up being another John Roberts, another Kennedy. And today proved exactly that. Gorsuch, Alito, and Clarence Thomas voted today to hear a case before the Supreme Court that would deal with Planned Parenthood funding. But guess who sided with the lefties? Your buddy Kavanaugh. And we fought for him because the allegations that they were throwing at him were wrong. It was wrong to try to bring a guy down like that. But we also knew what we were getting. And today he proved that, despite the left's histrionics. But anyway, as I mentioned to you, Democrats are not going to let anything that I just said get in the way of impeachment. Jerry Nadler, who's going to be the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, he was asked the question over the weekend whether or not these payments could be impeachable. Cut two.
If it is proven that the president directed or coordinated with Cohen to commit these felonies, if it's proven, and I understand it has not yet been, it's been alleged by the prosecutors, but it has not been proven. If it's proven, are those impeachable offenses?
Well, they would be impeachable offenses. Whether they are important enough to justify an impeachment is a different question, but certainly they'd be impeachable offenses because even though they were committed before the president became president, they were committed in the service of fraudulently obtaining the office. That would be an impeachable offense. But the fact of the matter is that what we see from these indictments and charging statements is a much broader conspiracy against the American people involving these payments, involving attempt to influence the campaign improperly with improper payments, involving the Russians trying to get influence in the campaign, involving
now,
the president
lying
for
an entire... Now, let's stop it right
now
for just a quick second. What he says is fraudulently obtaining the office. That's going to be the argument here. Fraudulently obtaining the office. Now, again, the question that I asked earlier was the only relevant question to ask. Would the disclosure of these payments during the campaign have changed your vote? Now, my bet is the answer is no. My bet is the answer is no. Maybe it would have in the primary. Perhaps when there were 17 Republicans on that stage, perhaps it might have been a different story. Maybe they would have ganged up on him about it. Maybe some conservative groups would have come out early on against him. Maybe some talk show hosts who were early on with Trump might have changed their minds. Who knows? I have no idea. But you're talking about back then a choice between 17 Republicans, where for Republican voters, they would have been happy to evaluate other candidates. By the time the general election rolls around, those same voters are going to go with Trump for the most part. And then all the other people who are making their decisions, did they think they were getting a guy who was married to one woman his entire life? Did they think they were getting a guy who's the embodiment of family values? Did they think they were getting a pious man? So then what is the fraud here that's been committed on the voters? That's what Nadler is alleging. That's what Nadler is going to make the impeachment about. Remember something. This is beyond just a campaign violation. What they are trying to do is to say that he fraudulently obtained the office by pulling a trick on you, that you voted for him under false pretenses. That's going to be the argument. He says it right there. Fraudulently obtained the presidency. And that had these payments been disclosed, you would have changed your vote. You would have gone with Hillary Clinton. You would have said, I'm going to ignore everything I know about this woman and vote for her anyway. I'm going to ignore his entire platform and vote for her anyway. This would have been the thing that caused you to vote for her. That this office was obtained fraudulently. He said it right there. And I don't believe that's true. However, if you disagree, if you are somebody who would have changed your vote and now wishes you could have changed your vote based on the Stormy Daniels payments, please, I want to hear from you. Do you feel as if you as a voter, Trump voter, are a victim of fraud? Do you feel like you were duped? So I went to fraud.org during the break. I looked this up. A project of the National Consumers League. Common scams. Frauds come in all shapes and sizes. Think you've run across one? Get to know the most common types. Now there's credit, debt, and loan fraud. You know, they tell you they can help you out with your credit or something like that, but it's just a giant scam. There's fraud against older adults. That's sad. Fraudsters are always targeting the elderly. Very sad. Health fraud. There's health-related scams. They pose a rise to, you know, your health and your bank account. Identity theft, obviously. Money-making scams, right? You've got money-making scams, pyramid scams. Jump in. Let's focus on this one for a second, shall we? Money-making scams. Bogus car advertising. Drive for long enough in any good-sized city and you're likely to see a car that's been wrapped up in an advertisement. Unfortunately, scammers have started to catch on to the popularity of bogus work opportunities on car ads. Now, there's check scams, there's pyramid scams, there's investment scams. What Jerry Nadler, who's about to become the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. So if articles of impeachment emerge, they will emerge from that committee. He is alleging now that Trump committed fraud in the election. Because he didn't tell you about Stormy Daniels. All right. Now, basically, under that argument, any politician who ever left anything out about their background that's negative also fraudulently obtained the office. So any secret that was hidden, anything they didn't come clean with the voters about, if they won that election, they perpetrated a fraud. Right. Fraudulently obtained the office by not disclosing to you, the Trump voter, Stormy Daniels. So it's like a work-at-home scam or a pyramid scheme or something like that designed to dupe you into your vote. Now, again, I ask you, if you're a Trump voter, do you feel like you're the victim of a scam or a fraud? And then all the politicians out there who may have ever lied about anything they ever did in their life, did they fraudulently obtain the office too? Are they also guilty now of fraud? Has Gerald Nadler told everybody that's ever voted for him everything about his life? Are there any things in his personal life that he's hidden that may have changed voters' minds? I don't know. We're opening up a whole new world now. We say that if a politician doesn't disclose every sleazy thing he's ever done, then you are being duped. And you have fallen for a giant scam. And all these people who were wearing MAGA hats lining up to vote for Trump, had they learned about Stormy Daniels, they would have said, whoa, I'm out, and ran over to vote for Mrs. Clinton. That's what the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, the incoming chairman of the committee that will produce articles of impeachment, is arguing. It's very important to understand that. Because I know a lot of people today, I've heard on radio, have been focusing on Obama's fine, the campaign finance. But that's not what they're going to look at. It's this aspect. This was a fraud perpetrated on the voters. So do you feel duped? Let's go to Steve in Downingtown. Steve, how are you?
Thanks for taking my call, Rich. I'm just fine. How are you?
Doing well, bud.
I don't feel defrauded by Trump. He's doing pretty much what he said he was going to do. I feel far more defrauded by the Republican establishment. They said they'd fix immigration and build the wall back in 1986.
But do you feel as if that your vote would have changed if you knew about Stormy Daniels?
Hell no.
So if you had found out on the way to the polls that he had paid hush money to Stormy Daniels, you still would have voted for him?
I still would have voted against Mrs. Clinton no matter what.
Okay, fair enough. Would this change your mind in 2020? Now that you know this, does this change your mind going to 2020? Are you off the Trump train?
Are you kidding? He committed fraud. He did something illegal with Stormy Daniels every bit as much as the Congress did something illegal paying people with our money
Right. They use taxpayer dollars to settle his sexual harassment claims. Right.
Exactly.
So in other words, you don't feel like you are the victim of fraud, Steve.
No, I'm being defrauded by the Democrats who are violating their oath to protect and defend the Constitution.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're certainly welcome. Do you feel defrauded?
No, not in the least. Because, again, I would have voted against Mrs. Clinton and her judges no matter what.
Exactly.
So, you know, nothing would have changed my mind on that front. Thank you for the call, Steve. That's me. And I said that the night of the election. I said, no matter what, you got to vote for the Supreme Court. Now, today, Brett Kavanaugh proves he's already becoming a gigantic disappointment. But Justice Gorsuch, again today, proves why I'm so glad that ultimately I voted for the president. So you ask me, do I feel defrauded? No. I would feel a victim of fraud if he got in there and actually appointed judges who were not on that list. Right? That's my issue. That's what I would have felt like. Or if he got in there and said, you know what, it was all an act. I don't really want any judges who were originalists of the Constitution. I'm going to find judges who will go out there and declare the Second Amendment is a group right, a militia right. Then I would have felt like I was the victim of fraud. Yes, without question. But again, I was voting against her as much as I was voting for him. And nothing was going to change that because I know what I would have gotten with Hillary Clinton. And we're the exact opposite of what I wanted from a president in terms of their judicial nominees. Period. No, and nothing was going to change that fact. Let's go to Major in Abington. Major, do you feel duped?
Not at all. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread, this guy. You know, he's come through on all his, more than any president in my lifetime, on his campaign promises and what he's doing with the military and the economy. It's fabulous. You know, if I did one thing Hillary Clinton did, I'd be in a federal correctional facility printing targets for the FBI to shoot at.
Well, that's true. You would, or even worse, license plates. So in other words, you had found out that he paid Stormy Daniels, you still would have voted for him.
Absolutely.
You don't feel as if you...
She's no different than a prostitute. First of all, she's a porn star. She's selling herself for sex. And she's no different than a high-paid prostitute. She's a very attractive woman, but she's tarnished the poor thing. I feel sorry for her.
Well...
It's just like I feel sorry for Dr. So-Called Ford. Now, I believe she may have been...
Let's focus on Stormy Daniels for a moment here. Jerry Nadler, who's the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, the guy who's going to oversee any impeachment hearings into Trump, he says you're the victim of fraud. You were scammed.
In what sense?
Because he says, had you known about these payments, you would have made a different choice in the election.
Not at all. It's a common business practice. What about the Kennedys? The organized crime. My God. The father was a bootlegger. Wasn't that against the law? How many customs agents and Coast Guardsmen got shot trying to stop that stuff? And they give the keys to the father, the court of St. James to the father, made him ambassador to England. Well, Johnny Walker Scotch, a subsidiary of the Canada Dry Beverage Company. Go figure.
All right.
And
thank you, Major.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. God bless you, too. My point is very simple, and I think it's pretty obvious. Jerry Nadler's point can't be backed up by anything. I don't particularly think that he's right. I don't think you think he's right. And so when they go forward with this, and they will, and they'll argue this, fraudulently obtain the office, the pushback on that is I don't feel like I was a victim of fraud. I don't feel as if I was scammed here. I don't feel like I was watching a late night infomercial and I bought the crappy product and guess what? The product doesn't work. But that's, remember something now, fraudulently obtained the office. This is the guy with the gavel. This is the guy who's going to become the chairman of the committee. And with Democrats, you notice it's not that Russia influenced the election and that's why he was elected president. It's not that. It's not that that there was some sort of election collusion and that's why he became president. No, it's fraudulently obtained the office because you would have changed your mind had you known about the Stormy Daniels payment. That's the argument that they're going to use to impeach a sitting president. And they will, by the way. I'm convinced of it. They will. I don't see any pathway out. I think that they'll do it and they will lose in the Senate, obviously. But they're so arrogant that they're not going to stop with him. I'll read you an op-ed from Tom Hartman, who is a lefty talk show host, who says today, get ready for President Pelosi because Trump and Pence could both go down in an unprecedented double two-for-one impeachment. Jerry Nadler, the soon-to-be chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, says this was an election that was fraudulently obtained, meaning that you were scammed. Like you thought you were getting the sham wow and you thought it would clean everything up. Still left a big puddle. Or the thing that's supposed to get out of all the stains. Use it. Still stains. Because you were supposed to put it on right after you got the stain and not a week later after you've already washed it. So, you know, that's on you, but you feel scammed. So you go to the FTC and you file a violation. What products are out there are some of the biggest scams? You ever try that pressure cooker? They say you get the best fried chicken.
Yes. I haven't tried it, but I know what you're talking about.
You don't get the best fried chicken.
You have it?
I have not. It's all BS.
Okay.
That's
okay.
A scam right there.
So you dub it a scam before you even try it.
Yeah, I don't even need to try it. I just know there's no way that thing can make good fried chicken. What products? You ever bought a late night product?
I'm trying to think. I think I have, yes. And I'm trying to think what it is. I have bought some stuff off TV, yeah.
I know that Greg has bought products off TV. I can't sleep at night.
Who is the guy? Billy Mays?
Billy Mays.
Yeah, he's no longer with us.
No, he's not.
But he used to sell all kinds of,
yes.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
He used to throw in like, and I'll give you a Maguire rookie card with this, you know, if you call now.
No, I used to love this. Like, buy one, we'll give you another one free.
Yes.
Plus additional shipping and handling. Yeah. So you get two, but they also charge you $19.99 for shipping and handling.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know.
But you got one for free.
Yeah, you got one for free.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
And wait, if you call right now, the first 50 people will also get 700 of these.
Yeah.
Plus shipping and handling and processing.
And you see that commercial like seven straight days.
Yeah. But wait, there's more.
And the guy who sold the ShamWow, I think he was brought up on domestic abuse charges.
Yes, he was. Well, yes, so. He was arrested.
There's something about really? These late night.
Yeah, he was a creepy
people.
He was a creepy looking guy, yeah, to begin with.
I don't know if he was guilty or innocent, but I know he was brought up on charges.
Yes, he
Listen,
was.
Listen, the ShamWow, it's like a chamois, a towel, and a sponge all in one.
Yes.
Now, special double offer. Two large and two mini ShamWows and get a second set free,
wow,
with free shipping, only $19.95.
Hmm.
It's rated the number one infomercial of all time by CNBC. So you're going to get 8 ShamWows total, okay? So the large ShamWow is 20 by 24, and the mini ShamWow is 15 by 15. It holds 10 times its weight in liquid, all right? So, just saying.
I'm sold. Where can I buy one?
Well, it's easy, RJ. You go to ShamWow.com. I love this. It's great. No, it's still around. I guess it's not a scam. So has anybody ever bought one of these things?
A ShamWow? No, haven't done the ShamWow.
No.
What about, what's the thing that's supposed to get out any stain? What's that one I always see the commercial for? You know what I mean?
Wasn't that Oxy something?
Was it Oxy? Yeah, yeah. OxyClean, right?
OxyClean,
which I think,
yes,
now you can buy in the stores.
Yes, you can.
It's so good, it can get up blood after a mob assassination. It's the only thing that works.
Forget about bleach. Save on bleach.
Yeah, save on bleach. It's harsh. This will get out blood. The FBI will never find the evidence.
Wow.
Hair, pit, DNA. All right, 855-839-1210. Also, if you ever bought the ShamWow, please call in and give it a review. Because now I'm looking at it as a thoughtful Christmas gift.
Yes.
I get one, you get one, you get one.
Everybody gets
you
one.
Get a ShamWow.
Yeah.
You get a ShamWow. Everybody gets a ShamWow. See?
Oprah has nothing on you.
I know, that's what I mean. Welcome! Everyone gets a ShamWow! By the way, sales is already hitting them up for sponsorship
Absolutely.
Yes. Dave DiRenzo is playing this audio back to them. He's already... Harry's in Mount Ephraim. Harry, what's up?
Hey, Rich, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just had 10,000 chamois strapped shipped to your office.
Very kind of you, sir. Thank you.
Collect. Hey, okay. here's my argument. Here's my defense argument. That Access Hollywood tape, that was probably the most damning, most damaging campaign offense I've ever heard in my life. I thought, oh, my God, this may really hurt him.
Yeah.
And he lived through that. Nothing that any other idiot like Stormy Daniels' situation could possibly have trumped, no pun intended, that Access Hollywood. So if you voted for him with the Access Hollywood, then you would not have been defrauded if you didn't know about Shammy. Stormy Daniels.
Stormy, right.
Secondly.
Storm Wow, we'll call her.
Yeah, Storm Wow. And then secondly, if I ever hear her name again, I'm going to bang my head against something 100 times. Like, why can't they let that die? I mean, this is like a piece of crap. He probably paid for her services to begin with. Then he had to pay her off to be blackmailed to shut up. And then she violated that. What greater human piece of crap deserves this much publicity?
Well, I mean, you know, in her defense, she's a working mom. So, you know, she's got to be on the pole, you know. Paying for the kids. Kids got to eat, I guess.
Got to pay for that silicon, too.
Well, that, too. Yeah, that's a layaway plan. All right. Thank you, Harry. Appreciate the call.
You got it, man.
Very nice. I mean, look, here's the thing. The Access Hollywood tape was thought to be so damaging that Reince Priebus, the chairman of the RNC, called on him to drop out of the race. Hugh Hewitt, who is a talk show host on the Salem Radio Network, he tweeted out, he can't win. He needs to resign now for the good of the party and let Pence run. There were a number of people, members of Congress, members of the Senate, who called on him to get out of the race. Rumor is that Chris Christie made the same argument. Can't win. It's over. Just back out. Let Pence be the guy. Now, I don't know if that's true. I wasn't in the room. But I do know that there were a number of very prominent voices close to then candidate Trump who said, you can't survive this tape. It's just, you're not going to win. So to the point of the tape and he survived that, yes, I agree that if you voted for him and you knew about the Access Hollywood tape, you probably would have voted for him had you known about the payments to Stormy Daniels. I don't think it would have changed your mind. And so the question then becomes really, truly, when you say a fraud has been perpetrated, did you get something different than what you thought you were going to get? Because that's how I interpret fraud, but... Remember, Jerry Nadler is going to become the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. This is how dangerous and how treacherous things are going to be once they take control in January.
CLE 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.